so that we can encourage one another. So thank you so much for that. You know, this week is, for me, coming up is going to be a very special week, really for two reasons. The first, Tuesday is Natasha's birthday. Yeah, I'm so excited. It is Natasha's birthday, and we were watching a movie this week. It's very underrated. You might have seen it before. It's called In Time or Out of Time. It's with Justin Timberlake. That may be why it's underrated. People think, you know, act singers, can they act? But in that movie, people age until 25, and then they stop aging. So if you want to ask me how old Natasha is, it's kind of like that movie. She's just stopped at 25. Or I love what Wendy Williams said this past week. You know, she's got maybe 15 years experience turning 25. So you can do the math there. But she is awesome. She is amazing. And I love her so much. So happy birthday to Natasha on Tuesday. The other thing going on this week is Wednesday. Do you know what day it is on Wednesday? Carly knows it is Earth Day, all right? Earth Day. Now, you probably, you know, maybe you don't know about Earth Day, and maybe you're getting nervous now, like, is Fenton some tree hugger? Is he going to tell us to go out and hug some trees? No, I'm not. But, you know, when I was a kid, you know, there are certain things that just stick into your mind from when you're a kid. I remember very vividly learning about Earth Day. I mean, they gave us these T-shirts with a picture of the world on it. And I remember the slogan was Earth Day Every Day. And so the idea was every day we need to be celebrating the Earth. And so this week you're probably going to see a lot of memes or shows or things about the environment and whatnot. And we are going to really in some ways be able to celebrate God's beautiful creation. Now, the problem that can happen, and the thing that you may have seen throughout history, is oftentimes societies and cultures and religions have started to worship the creation instead of the creator. I mean, that was one of God's big issues, right? They built a golden calf and tried to worship the calf. Or there are so many different societies that worship the sun, moon, and stars. I mean, even our days of the week, Monday, Moon Day, Sunday, the day of the sun, okay? Thursday, Thor's Day, I mean, you know, all these different things. Tuesday, I mean, it's people have worshiped the stars and sun and moon and creation instead of worshiping the creator. So what I'd like to talk about today is how we need to worship the creator and learn from the creation. See, over in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes about how God's invisible qualities, these amazing unseen attributes of him, are observable through what has been created. Bottom line, we can learn about God by just looking around. And there's actually a scientific phenomenon or a scientific process that describes this. It's called biomimicry. And what that is it's a field of science where research and development and ideas are created and ideas are garnered by just looking at nature and seeing what are nature's solutions to certain problems. A few examples, over in Zimbabwe, there's a building that its central cooling system was designed after a termite mound. There, you know, you think about mosquitoes. I mean, I've said this before. It seems like when God created everything, why mosquitoes? I mean, they seem like a pretty pointless insect. They just annoy you, right? And suddenly you go outside and you come back in and you're itching because they bit you. Well, scientists realize that there's something about when a mosquito bites you, you don't even feel it on you. And so they've then done research to try to make better needles. And matter of fact, neurosurgeons' technology has been developed by studying wasps, stingers, and mosquitoes' needles. Right? Learning from nature. Dolphins. You know, they're some of the smartest creatures on the planet, right? And they've got this advanced system of echolocation. Well, over in India, they've developed these underwater modems for communicating an early warning system for tsunamis in the Indian Ocean. Learning from creation. Not worshiping it, but learning from creation. The title of my sermon today, hopefully I'm on. There we go. The title of my sermon today is Biblical Biomimicry. Or if that's too much of a tongue twister, too much of a nerdy phrase for you to be saying today, you can say, what is God trying to teach you through nature? Biblical biomimicry. biomimicry. That's a lot of alliteration there. What is God trying to teach you through nature? So, you know, this past week I told you guys to read John 20, and honestly, I just had to listen to the Holy Spirit. I felt like I learned some things this week, saw some things this week, and God just sort of put this on my heart to share with you really three passages where God says, look at this. Observe this and imitate. Because right now, our world is sort of on a forced Sabbath. We're being made to slow down, to stop, and to rest. And what are some of the consequences of that? Well, they say that pollution is so down in places like Beijing or LA, you can finally see the skyline in those places. I've heard stories about in India, the boatways where they ride on the, gondolas? Is that what those things are called? The gondolas, right? People aren't doing that. And now you can look down in the water and see fish because the boats aren't going back and forth nonstop. The sediment isn't being stirred up. You can look down and see fish, and ducks and geese are swimming through those waves right now. Some of us, the only time we're able to get out is when we go take a walk for exercise. And so right now, I think, is a perfect time to be looking at God's creation and seeing what lessons can I learn. So over in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at our first point today, which is don't worry. We're going to look at the example of flowers and birds. Read with me over in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Let's stop right there for a moment. Question I'd like to ask you, what are the things you worry about? What are the things that you lose sleep over? What are the things that so run through your mind that you can't even focus? Maybe it's your bills. I know a lot of people right now, depending on their work status, can be worried about bills. Maybe it's your health, right? With coronavirus and COVID-19 going around, a lot of people are very worried and losing sleep about health. Maybe it's the economy, and you're one of those folks, we just got to get people back out as soon as possible so the economy doesn't tank. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe right now you're in the house and you realize, man, I don't have anything in common with this person. They're basically just a roommate of mine, and we're like ships passing in the night. And you realize, man, my marriage is not where it needs to be right now. Maybe it's your children. And now you're realizing, man, that teacher wasn't lying. It ain't the teacher's fault. Little Johnny's just a problem in class. Right, now that you're teaching them, right? And so maybe you're worried about your children. You know, when I think about myself, honestly, that's generally for me the thing I lose the most sleep over is when something's going on with my kids. If they're not doing well or they're struggling or something's happened to them. You know, this past week, Noah had an allergic reaction to something and she was kind of having little puffy hives on her face and I was freaking out. Like, is this some unknown symptom of coronavirus? And I was just freaking out. You know, we called the doctor. WebMD or whatever, I don't know, you know, was able to talk to the doctor on the phone and just give her some Claritin and don't freak out, you know? But losing sleep over my children, I can often, I think at times, lose sleep over how's the church doing, just being honest. As the evangelist, I worry about people and how they're doing spiritually. And when I hear about tough situations, you know, I take it to heart because I care about you all, right? Other thing is just relationships. You know, if I feel like I've just burned a bridge or I have enmity between me and a brother especially, or if I'm worried about a conversation, a tough conversation that I know I've got to have, sometimes it'll make me lose sleep. And so I think all of us can say that we worry about some things. Everybody out there has worries, has things that you lose sleep over. But what Jesus is about to say right here is, don't worry. And here's why. Let's keep reading. So we're in Matthew 6. We're going to pick back up in verse 26 now. This is why you shouldn't worry. He says, consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of his own. And so what is Jesus' response when Jesus tells these people, don't worry? What is the example that he then uses? He says, look at the birds. You ever seen a bird freaking out? You ever seen a bird fretting, panicking? You ever seen a bird trying to build a barn? Right? No. It says birds don't, they don't build barns. They don't sow and they don't reap, and God feeds them. God is going to take care of you. We're worth much more than a bird of the sky. God is going to take care of you. And he says, if you don't understand that example, look at the wildflowers of the field. I mean, a lot of us, you know, it's like, man, our grass is just going crazy. I got to cut it like once a week now, you know? It's just crazy. I mean, because of, again, maybe the cut down and pollution and people, you know, nature's just sort of coming back. But if you ever looked out at a meadow and just how beautiful it is, you ever said, man, I guess those flowers spend a ton of time getting dressed. They spend hours in the mirror trying to put on their makeup and their clothing to look great. Jesus says, no, they don't spin. They don't get needles. They don't sew. And look at how beautiful they are. He says, even Solomon, the richest guy probably that ever lived, wasn't dressed like these guys were. What's the point? It's that God is the provider. So what is the lesson we can learn? What can we mimic from nature? It's like birds don't worry, flowers don't worry, brothers and sisters don't worry. The stuff that's keeping you up at night, give it to your Father. It says all these things, he knows that you need them. He's aware. He's conscious. He is actively looking down and seeing, man, Andy has needs. Jose has needs. Byron's got things going on in his life. Heidi's got problems. God's like, I know. I know what you need. And he says, I'm going to take care of you. But he says, what I want you to worry about, so don't worry about all the other stuff. What you can worry about is in verse 33 and 34, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. So let's take a lesson from the birds and from the flowers to not worry, but to seek first God's will, to seek first God's righteousness. He says, all that other stuff is going to be provided for you. It's so interesting when you look at the fact that Jesus was talking to people who many of them had left everything to follow him. I mean, particularly if they had been followers of John the Baptist first, John the Baptist was saying, hey, if you have two clothing items, give one to somebody who has none. Right? And so these are people that had left jobs and homes and everything to walk around with Jesus, to be his physical, literal disciples. And he's telling them, don't worry about what you're going to eat. You know, here in our country, very few of us that are watching this live stream probably get up and worry, am I going to eat today? But they did. Very few of us go in our closet and say, man, I've only got one outfit. And what am I going to wear today? And Jesus saying, for even people who should have been worrying about those things, he's saying, don't worry, God is going to take care of you. So that's the point today is, you know, this week when you go out and you see a flower or you hear the birds chirping when you go on a morning walk or something, think about the fact that God does not want you to worry. That's point number one. Point number two, look over in Proverbs chapter 6, work hard. So I did this as my inspirational vitamin yesterday, and that's part of how I got so inspired. You know, the staff, every day except for Sunday mornings, we do a little 2 to 3 minute videos, a little 2 to 3 minute devotional. We call it the inspirational vitamin, or your spiritual IV, I like to call it, you know. And I did this yesterday, and I just felt like the Spirit was saying, Fenton, you need to do a whole message on this. And so I talked about Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to look at the ant. Now, some of you may be asking, well, Fenton, if you could do that in 3 minutes, why do we have to have a 30-minute sermon this morning? A little bit more. I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me some things. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, go to the ant, you slacker, or you sluggard. Observe its ways and become wise. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. How long will you stay in bed, you slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit. Excuse me, you know, they say, a dense man doesn't learn from his mistakes. You know, there's a proverb that says, he who hates correction is stupid, right? So a dense man doesn't learn from his mistakes. A smart man can learn from his own mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. I'd like to put before you, add to this saying here, a spiritual man can learn from anything. A spiritual person can learn from anything, even a little six-legged insect. Have you ever seen an ant chilling? You ever seen an ant just sitting around, lazing around, doing nothing? I mean, it's just never happened. Ants are by nature just busy creatures. And I know what you're saying, Fenton. Well, you just said in the first one, don't worry. So how can we balance this idea of not worrying, but then also working? Right? I think it goes back to the mindset, the perspective that God is the provider, but we still need to do our part. Right? There are two things that I think we can learn from the ant. One is, don't be lazy, as in work hard. And the second thing is, have integrity. So, ants are such amazing creatures. If you've ever kicked, you know, we've probably all done this, especially as a kid, right? Just kicked over an ant pile just because. You know, well, I've done this before, you know, and sometimes not even as a kid, as an adult, I've done this. But it's amazing. Within a day, they'll have that thing back. I mean, they just go to work fixing it. They're not worried about, well, who did? I mean, they are. If you leave your hand or your foot on there, they're gonna get you. But they're not worried about what happened. They're saying, we gotta get to work. And they work. Right? And so it was interesting. This last week, I was taking out some trash, and we'd eaten some chicken wings, and I, you know how kids sometimes, they don't eat all the meat off the bone, and it's just a disgrace. It's like, eat all the meat off that chicken bone, right? But I was taking it out, and I saw an ant pile, and I said, oh, you know, again, I'm just a curious person by nature. So I went and took this basically pretty much almost eaten chicken bone, and I just stuck it in an ant pile. And man, I tell you, by that night, really, I think it was the next morning, it was like they had broken it. It was the craziest thing. The ants had just, they had taken all the meat off of it and figured out some, it was just crazy what they had done. But they are diligent creatures. I think God wants us to look at an ant and say, be diligent. You know, it's like what Kit sang with his program. Pray to God about your impossible prayers, but then work towards them in the ways that you can. Let's be like the ant. And the second thing I love is the integrity that the ant has. This is, for me, this is one of my core values. Do what's right when no one is looking. Amen. It says the ant has no administrator, no leader, or no ruler, and yet it goes about its business. I mean, there's not another ant behind an ant with a whip saying, get to it. Get to it, little buddy. No, I mean, they just go. They work hard. You know, how's our integrity going in working from home? I mean, it's easy to really slack off. And in one way, you can think about it, it's honestly counterproductive. Guess what? If you do an amazing job working from home, whenever we do get back to normal, corporations are going to say, man, we ought to let more people do this. Right? So what is our integrity looking like? You know, the thing is, the Holy Spirit, God has said in his word, work as though you're working for the Lord, not men. That was a passage that was actually written to slaves in that time. Right? Indentured servants. And so for us, with our jobs, sometimes we can feel that we're a slave to the machine. Jobs, but it says, work as though you're working for the Lord, not your boss. Not men. Have integrity. And the thing is, I think the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you and inspiring you, not just in the workplace, not with things that have to do with work, but also to do good deeds. The Holy Spirit is going to be sending you out to be diligent, to work hard at encouraging others. To First Thessalonians 1:3 talks about your labor inspired by love, your work fueled by faith. You know, during this time, what is the Holy Spirit putting on your heart to do? What are the good deeds? It was so encouraging. This last week, Beth Berta just called me up out of the blue. just to say, man, I'm so encouraged by this book, Kit Cummings' book we're doing. I'm so grateful for the church's leadership that you guys wanted to go after having us do this. It's been awesome. Curtis Garner called me, I guess, about 2 weeks ago. Just want to see how you're doing, brother. We'll see how is it going with you, bro. You know, the Holy Spirit during this time is going to be speaking to you at things that you can do, right? Whether it's writing a letter or a card or giving a phone call. And I got to be honest, it's so funny. My mom is not going to believe this when she listens to this sermon. I don't like being on the phone. Now, when I was a kid, man, I used to burn that line up. Right? It was so bad they got us our own separate ring. You know, me and my sister were just on the phone. You guys remember that? You had the two rings. You know, Jose's laughing. He knows about it. You know, you had the two rings. It was your ring. You know, I was on the phone all the time. And then, I guess, you know, I went to college and kind of grew up, and I'm like, man, I just don't like being on the phone. And so, you know, a couple weeks ago, during our weekly one-on-one, I was telling Carly, I was like, you know, I've got to have integrity during this time. I don't like being on the phone. But every day I need to call somebody every day. I would much rather be face-to-face, taking prayer walks and having coffee, and now I can't. So the integrity for me in my job right now, I need to be calling people. I need to get on Zoom meetings. You know, I need to figure out ways to encourage my brothers and sisters. I want to show you a video. This creature is not in the Bible, but I think it's an awesome, awesome illustration of a creature that we can learn from. If you guys will cue up this video, it's about the Japanese puffer fish. What a wonderful little creature. I mean, what an amazing little creature that God made. And I love what the announcer said. It's a dull-looking animal. I mean, it's really kind of a plain Jane sort of looking animal, but it makes this wondrous work of art. It reminded me of Isaiah 53 when it talks about Jesus, that he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, right? But then he was able to take away our sins, right? And so What lessons can we learn from the pufferfish? Well, is it, man, if you want to impress a woman, brother, you need to work for a week straight with no sleep. Is that the lesson? Is that the lesson? No, I don't think so. But I like to think of the idea from this is that this fish is like the little engine that could. I mean, it makes this remarkable creation because of diligence and work, but ultimately because of what God put inside it. All of us out there are like puffer fishes. We have the ability. You may feel normal. You may feel dull. You may feel like you're not special. But God, because of the fact that you're made in his image, has made you capable of making remarkable and incredible works that would blow your mind. And so when I think about this, what is a practical application? I think about me and my marriage. Am I still trying to impress my mate? Right? I mean, if a fish can do this, but I can't take my wife out on a date, well, Fenton, the social distancing restrictions and restaurants are closed. Man, you need to be creative. Heard about Garrett and Rebecca. They found ways to have dates. We've been doing Zoom double dates with the Rutlands and with the Kellys. I mean, you can find ways. You know, it's the Desir's anniversary, and I hear they're doing something really special for that today. You guys may know Jared and Cara Kiddo. They have a blog or a website called Authentic Marriages. It's kind of a ministry of theirs that really seeks to help people have great marriages. One of the questions they asked this week on the site was, what are you doing this weekend to intentionally spend time with your spouse? What work of art are you trying to create in your marriage? What effort are you putting into relationships? Because I don't think this pufferfish analogy only applies to marriages. I think it applies to your friendships, to your relationships, to your situations at work with your coworkers. How are you trying to make something beautiful out of the situations that God has put you in? Romans talks about, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And so this week, guess what? You won't see a pufferfish, but I guarantee you, you'll see an ant. And so when you see an ant this week, I want you to think about the fact that God wants us to work hard, to make beautiful creations, not to be lazy, but to have integrity. Final point, over in John chapter 12, die to live. Die to live. Over in John chapter 12, Jesus is going to tell an analogy, and we'll look at this as we lead into communion. In John chapter 12, over in verse 20, it says this. Now, some Greeks were among those who went up to worship at the festival. So they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and requested of him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus replied to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself, a single seed. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. The one who loves his life will lose it. And the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." You know, Jesus says a grain of wheat, unless it dies, unless it's buried, it remains a single seed. What's the point? You know, if we try to guard and hoard and have a self-first mentality, you will be and feel alone. It says it remains by itself if it doesn't die. But when it dies, when it is planted, it sprouts up. And as a matter of fact, it produces other grain to be with it. That's the lesson. I think Kit talked about this in our Zoom on Wednesday. The happiest people are the people who are the most giving. Those who die to self are those who truly live. Death to self is the only way to truly live. Even chemically, Kit was talking about, right? When you encourage somebody else, right, it does something in your brain. Your brain gives you a feel good for being encouraging to someone else. And other people that observe it also get to take part in it. It's just like the seed. When it dies, it sprouts up and produces more seeds, and then it's got some buddies. But as a single seed, it will stay by itself and wither and die. You know, there's so many lessons from nature. Forests, you've heard about how forests have to burn a lot of times to be expanded. It's called the fire regime. Now, again, no species is meant to survive in fire, but lots of species, both plant and animals, have learned to adapt to fire, and it can make the ecosystem even more healthy. We're going to go through some stuff. We're not meant to live in fire. You're not meant to be in a constant state of problems and trouble. God doesn't want that for you. But God will then use those situations to make you better, to make you stronger. You think about a caterpillar. He has to basically melt down into a pile of mush, a pile of nothing but goo inside a cocoon, to come out on the other side as a beautiful butterfly. God will use anything to teach you. It might be nature, or it could be other things. I mean, Jesus talked about, look, be like little children. I mean, think about it. You ever seen a child, and sometimes if you have a small children, you know this, right? They can watch the same show over and over and over and over again, and you're like, how can you watch this for the umpteenth time? You done seen that movie 51 times. But it's still just as exciting. They love it. They know it. You know, I think we can imitate that when it comes to the Bible. Some of us have been around a long time. You've read the stories. You know about the crucifixion. You just heard another Easter sermon last weekend. But like a child, do you still let it excite you? Do you still let it move you? Do you still let it cut you to the heart? Think about this, you know, one of the things I've learned. You ever heard that phrase, it's not the destination that counts, but the journey? I always thought that was a stupid phrase. I was like, no, whatever the result is, that's what really matters. If I play in a game, I want to win. It's not about how much I grew or how much I learned along the way. I want to win. Well, it's funny. I told you guys last week, you know, I I'm a big nerd. I play Scrabble on my phone. I'm a big nerd. I mean, again, I named my sermon Biblical Biomimicry, right? I'm a nerd. I mean, it just is what it is. You know, I've been playing Scrabble, and I play on my phone, and I play in Spanish, and I play in Portuguese. And most of the time, I lose because I'm not a native speaker. So when I'm playing with native speakers, most of the time they kick my butts. And there's especially these two folks I play with oftentimes. It's like a miracle when I win. I win like one out of every 10 matches against these people. And, you know, I finally got to a point where at first it used to just bother me. And then I realized, man, I learn new vocabulary. I'm using my brain. And I finally got to a point where I was like, man, it isn't just about the result of that game. It is the journey and playing and learning that I really grow from. And so I think the same exact thing can happen with the experiences in our life. Yes, it does ultimately matter if we get to heaven, amen? But it's also about the journey. And so I love, and this is what I'll close with as we get into communion, how Jesus says, look, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to die to produce many seeds. We need to follow Jesus's example. It was so encouraging last week to see Bill and Julia get baptized into Christ, following Jesus's example. If you know what baptism is, it's a participation in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. After you've believed and repented, you get baptized. And just like Jesus was dead, he died on the cross, then he was buried, and then he was raised again. That's what Bill and Julia did. They realized they were dead in their sins. They believed, they repented, they got baptized, they were buried in the waters of baptism, and they were raised to new life. Again, just like we can learn from nature, we need to learn from Jesus. So my encouragement for us today, as we take the bread that represents his broken body, let's remember that he was that single seed that chose to die to produce many seeds. He gave up his life. Let's follow him. As we take the fruit of the vine that represents his blood spilled out for us, let's remember that, yes, we can imitate birds and flowers and ants and seeds, but ultimately we want to imitate our loving Lord and Savior who gave up his life on a cross so that we could go on and be with him in heaven. That's the message for today. What can God teach you through nature or biblical biomimicry? Thank you. We're going to have one final song before we take communion.